All right, well, welcome back, everybody. Here we are at the Czech blog once again. I'm here with our good friend, Jitor Pierre. How are you, Jitor? Oh, God, I need, like, a translation manual for your science, man.
A while back, I was out with a friend of mine, and I guess this is the sign of the Illuminati, which you're actually not supposed to do in public. So if I die, you know why.
Well, in post, I'm going to fuzz it out. I'll put it like a big smiley face over
there. That's
awesome. That's great. Well, we are here today. I'm going to drag Jitor back to comics today. I think we're going to talk a little bit about the Hulk today. We love comics. Both Jitor and I do. I freely admit that I'm a big comics nerd. But the Hulk is a great comic here to talk about today, because we're going to talk about stress. The Hulk is perfect here because there's a clear and undeniable manifestation of his stress, right? And we even have an expression for it, hulking out, right? Yeah. And I think, the idea, in part, the theme for today is that we tend to ignore stress and its role in our lives and in our health until the pain teacher, or until we hulk out, and not in the right way, right? Usually we don't get all green and have, become really strong. It's sort of, we might get green. but it generally doesn't lead to super strength. So thanks for being here and geeking out with me and talking about stress today, Jitor.
Thanks for having me, James. Mm-hmm. I really love the Hulk metaphor for me. One, because I've been into the Hulk since I was about 2 years old, which says a lot about me as my psychology, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah. That's another video.
It's another video we'll dive into.
Yeah.
As well as the outward manifestation of kind of the stress response, or Bruce Banner's response to anger.
Yeah.
And how that it's such a beautiful expression, because you see the grand changes that his body goes through when he's having this external stressor, and how he internally then responds to that, and then how that becomes an internal and an external manifestation of that stress response. And what's really cool for me, too, is that at the end of one of the current movies, they show the Bruce Banner, he's at the end of the movie, and he's meditating with a heart rate monitor, and he's learning how to control his stress response.
Yeah.
Which is another video I want to get into, too, around the light and shadow of meditation, which I think will be fun.
Yeah.
But in this video, so looking at this response, I think my experience of stress in general, the word itself, stress, is it's thrown around a lot, and I don't think there's I think it's thrown around so much that it's almost disregarded.
Yeah.
Or maybe said in another way, not understood in terms of how that word holds so much value.
Yeah.
And there's so many depths underneath that word that bleed into what creates the stress response in us as human beings.
Yeah.
So I have some things written down here to remind me where I'm going, because I tend to go all over the places. I'm guessing a lot of the viewers are aware, in a fun, joyful way.
Right.
But I wanted to give some definition for us all around stress. So this guy named Hanselli, excuse me if I'm mispronouncing that, which I probably am, he coined the word stress itself. So he is the person who came up with stress. Richard Lazarus, he's a psychotherapist. He defines stress as any event in which environmental demands, internal demands, or both tax or exceed the adaptive resources of an individual. So said in another way, when the your internal balance or nutrient density or what you're dealing with from a fungus, parasite, dysbiosis, overworking out, joint pain, back pain, neck pain, etc. That internal environment and how the body adapts to that, as well as what we're experiencing external to us. So driving, relationship, other people, how we navigate the world. Once that starts to, that demand is always on us, which has a benefit as well. But once that demand overtakes our ability to adjust or compensate or mediate that, then we start to get dysfunction in the system. So that's one perspective. Another definition for stress is threat, real or implied, which is pretty interesting, to the physiological or psychological integrity of an individual, which again just gives more voice to the threat, real or implied.
Right.
So for me, what might be real would be kind of a physical. Right. I walk outside and there's a pit bull who is loose. Nothing against pit bulls. I love pit bulls. I know some of the sweetest dogs out there are pit bulls. Let's say it's a ravenous pit bull who wants to eat me.
Okay.
That is a physical threat, which feels real to me. An implied threat, which doesn't necessarily mean it's real, is my interpretation of the outside world. What does that mean? So we've all driven a car. Well, most of us have. And someone, you have an experience of someone on the road and you imply or project onto them that they're cutting you off on purpose or whatever, or moving into your lane and disrespecting your space. That would be a sense of implied threat. We don't really know what's going on inside that person's mindset and why they're doing what we're doing, yet we create the projection to imply the threat, to then have the stress response. And some of us show them what their age was after they were zero.
Yeah.
One. Just with another finger. So those definitions of stress, I think, are important because, you know, when we're talking about the HPA access, hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenal, thyroid, gonadal access, that is really a part of the stress picture. And if you go one step above stress and look at stress from a different perspective, which we talked about in a prior video, which was allostasis, right?
Yeah.
So you have homeostasis, and allostasis is basically a way to break down the stress response from a physiological perspective to its nuances. So look at it at a deeper level. So when we have any of these things going on, whether it's perceived stress or real stress, we have a physiological response in the body that cascades through hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenals, and on.
Right.
Why that's important is because, back to the Hulk, what you're seeing in the Hulk from Bruce Banner's perspective is that when Bruce has this internal or external stress response, the manifestation in Bruce is this change in his body structure. He becomes extremely very muscular, big and green. Now, most of us actually do become more muscular. What I mean by that is the hormones that are released and the neurotransmitters that are released make us stronger for the fight or flight system. So how we're going to fight from the situation or fight in the situation. So we actually do have this Hulk response. We can run faster, jump higher. We've all heard of the grandma who lifts a car off of a little girl or a little boy. So we actually have this response. The really interesting thing about this response is that from an ancestral lens, this response is designed to be very short in nature.
Right.
It's not designed to be chronic. So what's interesting is that just like anything else, for me, there's a light and a shadow side to this, or opposite polarities. Mm. So the opposite polarities here is that the stress system, the autonomic nervous system and the corticosteroid system, those systems are designed to be protective in the short term. They protect us from animals. They protect us in fighting. They protect us to heal faster. They protect us to run, climb trees, etc. But in the long term, the chronic exposure to that, that same response moves from being protective into being destructive. Because the system isn't designed to be that, long term. It's actually a short term response. And what's fascinating today is that from an ancestral perspective, we used to have these short responses to something that was happening mainly external to us and potentially internal to us. But they were short lived. Go watch the Discovery Channel and watch animals and watch a hunt. You'll see the lionesses hunting the animal, and obviously they're having stress response, all of these animals. They're running for their life. Once that stops, then you'll watch all the animals calm down.
Yeah.
They'll go get water.
Yeah.
And or they'll shake their body, right?
Yeah.
You'll see them shake and move and roll.
Yeah.
And that's actually an ingrained response in our system to move the stress through our body. And to use the blood sugar, to use the hormones that are released. Because if we can use it, then we're not stewing in it. So we fast forward now to kind of this day and age. And yes, we're not having a constant maybe lion chasing us or a rabid pit bull chasing us.
Yeah.
However, we're having these small stress responses all day long. Running late to work, alarm going off first thing in the morning with the very high pitch annoying alarm.
Financial problems.
Relationship issues.
Yeah.
All of those things are causing the stress response to elicit, turn on, as well as lack of sleep, under artificial lighting, watching The Walking Dead at night, lack of nutrition, gut health issues, fungus and parasites, and on and on and on.
Yeah.
So we're having this constant and consistent, insidious response to stress that takes it out of the protective and moves it into the destructive.
Yeah.
And as that system starts to move into the destructive, we start to see all kinds of manifestations like the Hulk changing in our bodies. However, we don't become, like you said, we don't become the Hulk after this kind of protective.
Yeah.
We start to become a lower level of Bruce Banner. What I mean by that is our tissues start to break down.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
We start to get inflammatory processes globally. We start to get gut hyperpermeability. We start to get organ inflammation.
Yeah.
We start to get blood sugar dysregulation. We start to get reflexing of the organs to the musculoskeletal system.
Yep.
And then when that starts to happen, then we also start to show up with degradation of our tissues, from our ligaments to our tendons to our musculature to our brain tissue. All of that starts to compensate and dysregulate because we don't have the ability to match what's coming into the system in terms of a stress response. And that is wear and tear on the system, which manifests itself then as chronic disease, chronic dysfunction, and all the other things I just previously named.
Oh, this is really fascinating, because I think when we do talk about stresses, a lot of times, at least in this country, it's about, you know, we get this sort of, well, shake it off, right? Or just gut it out, right? You just got to gut it out. And what that amounts to in some ways is you have to gut out your life. I mean, you have to gut out your entire life. And the other, you know, I was thinking about this too, and you were saying that some part of our evolutionary endowment has been this ability to see long term.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that that manifests in our lives now, especially again in the United States, is, well, I have to think about my retirement. I have to think about saving for my kids' college, right? I have to, you know, all of this long-term thinking brings us back to, in a lot of ways, a stress response, again, that I don't escape until maybe I get to retirement if I've planned well, right? Maybe. So you do.
Maybe.
You're right. You really do end up sort of gutting out or trying to get out major portions of your life. And from what you are telling us now, these all have real physiological consequences, that gutting out is like the absolute worst thing that you can do for your health.
I really appreciate what you just shared because, well, when it matches what I'm going to share, so it makes us sound like we're same value system. Is what's so fascinating to me about what you shared is the gutting out perspective, or the get it done perspective. In the short term, beautiful, but in the long term, again, it's creating this destruction of the tissue, and of our tissues. And of our potentially our mental and emotional health. And this is one reason why HPA access dysfunction, dysregulation, however you want to look at it, is so common, because this is how we commonly interpret and see life, at least from a Western perspective, which is success means you work more.
Yeah.
Success means you make more. Success means you do more. How many people do we know, myself included, wear a badge of honor, not myself included anymore, but wore a badge of honor that I only slept 6 hours last night because I was working so hard.
Yeah.
And what's really fascinating too about this is when you look at some of the research behind this, the more dysregulated the system becomes, and the more we do, and what I mean by do is like trying to create what we perceive as success, what we perceive as external acknowledgement from others because they see how hard we work, and we can peel this back into, you know, the inner child, et cetera, which we've done in the past.
Yeah.
Is that that leaves, that gets us to a point where we're destructive of every aspect of us on every level. And not only is it destructive of us on every level, but we also then promote more and more doing. As an example of what's going on right now, just from a nutritional perspective. So I don't want to get too far on this because I really want to talk about this, but the ketogenic lifestyle, which we won't get into. However, one of the proponents of that is that you have so much energy and you feel so vibrant and you can get so much done. And David Asprey himself posted this video on Facebook of these dancing, these exercises, these aerobic exercises in the 1970s or something. These guys, they're going big, they're going crazy.
I think
David's like, yes, that's what I feel like after I have my bulletproof coffee.
Yes. Yeah.
Fascinating to ask the question. Beautiful short term. What's the detriment of that in the long term? And where is this kind of insidious need for us to produce? Drives how we destroy ourselves in the long term.
This is what one of Paul's sayings, right? We're human beings, not human doings.
Yes, exactly. And then it's like, you know, breaking down, well, what is, how can we be and find balance in that? You know, to balance out the autonomic system or our physiology, there's nothing wrong with going after things. Go hard. Rest hard too. Find that balance for yourself. And where it gets a little bit off track for me is all of this biohacking, all these things to continue to push harder and faster, better. Do it more.
Yeah.
For me, that feels slightly disrespectful of our physiology and that we are human beings.
Yeah. Well, the other part of that, hacking part to me sounds, it always feels very Frankensteinish, right? I mean, a very kind of, well, this is going to work temporarily. It's like a stopgap sort of thing that might get me more energy in the long term, but whether it's a good strategy, I mean, in the short term, but whether it's a good strategy long term is, you know, who knows?
And totally, because just like the system itself, there's polarities to this system. There's the protective, and there's the destructive, and there's a balance in between those two.
Yeah.
And from my perspective, we don't want to go too far in either direction. We want to find the balance in between those two extremes.
Yeah.
So just some more kind of tidbits here to consider. We've talked about extremely common. In my perspective, whether it's a back issue, a gut issue, hearing issue, chronic inflammation, chronic disease, autoimmune disease issue, from my perspective, those aspects and manifestations are impossible to address unless you have respect for the HPA axis, because the HPA axis affects all tissues and cells, almost all tissues and cells globally. So almost impossible to address. The overwhelming pace of life that most of us run at, which we just kind of gave voice to, our constant demand on time, and interesting too, from one perspective, how do most of us rest or not rest? A lot of us rest or not rest, and what we mean by not rest is being on social media or being on our computer or being on our iPad or our iPhone. That in and of itself also causes an external and interpreted internal stress response, whether it's we're arguing on social media or we're reading other people's opinions that trigger us.
Yeah.
Or just the artificial light that's flashing into our eyes.
Yeah.
All of these things that even when we go on vacation, a lot of us bring our computer, our phone, etc., and can't disconnect from the constant information going into our systems. And that is also a very stressful thing. Chronic sleep deprivation. One third of Americans right now get 6 hours a night or less.
Wow. Yeah.
That's pretty big. We used to get 12 to 13 hours more per week. We're working now 12 to 13 hours more per week as compared to 1968. So those are some other things to think about. And from a practitioner standpoint, whether you're a health coach, life coach, practitioner, LAC, ND, MD, whatever you are, is that this system, this HPA access is happens within us too, the practitioner or the coach. And for us as people who are sharing lifestyle change with others, if we're again frazzled, stressed out, overworked, etc., that isn't going to come across very well with our clients. And we're not going to have the same experience and or knowledge and or wisdom to share how we've done that in our own lives, which comes with a higher vibrancy in terms of what I believe is the energy behind the words, how that client feels when you're speaking. And one of the things that I personally do in my own life is when I look at my weekly schedule, I personally schedule myself first. So I go through my schedule and I schedule hockey, workouts, and downtime, and I put that in my schedule first, and then everyone else has to fit around that. That helps me to bring balance into my schedule.
Yeah,
it helps me to honor myself first.
Yeah,
right. Because if we're in healthcare, a lot of us are in healthcare because we want to care for others, which is another video we can do. But to support others in their process, my perspective is we have to be supportive of ourselves first.
Yeah. Yeah, so I this is the first thing that occurs to me, and it may be occurring to other practitioners. Well, actually, whether you're a practitioner or you're not, and you're listening, I'm listening to you say this. I sort of, well, look, imagine I'm a 9-to-5-er, right? 40 hours a week or more, right? Now maybe I'm into 50 or 60, right? But that's my job, right? And I don't have control over the scheduling of my time for that. How do I deploy the kind of strategy that you're talking about in my life if I am this kind of, I've got my work blocks are fixed?
Yeah, I love that question, James, because there's a lot of meat there. And for me, what the meat is that one of the easiest ways to address our own stress in our lives is really to put it under the category of stress management first. Mm. What I mean by that is there's going to be stress.
Mm. Right? Right, right.
Modern society guarantees it.
Yeah.
Lifestyle that we, most of us generally live, guarantees there's going to be stress.
Right.
And some of us do live or work in this 9-to-5 block, which I just want to say that we choose to do.
Right.
Okay? So whether you believe you choose to do it or not, we can have... Call me, we'll have a chat about it.
This is another video.
Okay, so you have this 9-to-5.
Yeah.
And you have this high-stress job.
Yeah.
That feels out of your control.
Right.
Well, beautiful. Keep that in place and look at other areas of your life that you can help reduce stress load.
Yeah.
So if we're looking at it simply from an HOC1 perspective, and we have that HAQ... Mm. Which I think the HAQ Paul put together beautifully,
yeah.
Is, well, what's an easy thing we can address to these people? Well, let's look at what they're eating.
Hmm.
Because that's 3 meals a day, kind of maybe minimum. And from there, up to 7 meals a day. Some of us eat 2, some of you eat 1. So let's take the average is 3 meals a day.
Hmm.
And if they're eating 3 meals a day of conventional foods, well, they're getting 3 doses of another stress response in their life.
Yeah.
Which is pretty high.
Yeah.
So an easy place to start with someone who works 9-to-5 is, okay, well, let's just start implementing change around your intake.
Yeah.
Slowly move you to all organic.
Yeah.
Or organic, biodynamic, local, or local pasture-raised, etc. It's another video. But by doing that, we're reducing load on HPA access because we're reducing the amount of toxicity that's coming to the body that our liver and detox pathways have to deal with.
Mm.
So that's an easy one. So then that's already reductive of stress.
Mm.
What's another one? We've talked about heart math on our little show here. Heart math, another one that I've seen crazy results with people doing heart math for 5 to 10 minutes a day.
Yeah.
As stress management.
Mm, mm, mm.
What's another one that these people can do? Getting a mental and emotional coach.
Right.
Contacting someone who can help you learn how to support yourself through this process or learn stress management techniques.
Right.
So there's getting a better night's sleep, reducing artificial lighting, wearing those blue blockers like we've talked about.
Right, right.
All of these things, if I can't change my current schedule, beautiful. What can I change?
Right.
And maybe even a more important question, what am I willing to change?
Right, right.
Literally, I've had clients who have come with chronic back pain for 20 years, very stressed out, looked over their paperwork, and literally our first program was a walk in nature 30 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
And they had reduction in pain, reduction in stress, reduction in mental and emotional kind of turmoil.
Yeah.
Simply from getting out in nature and connecting to nature. And there's a lot of pretty cool research going on right now around what's called the biophilia hypothesis, which is how nature helps us reduce stress load and how important that is to us as human beings to connect with the natural environment, and get into nature. So those are kind of
that's great
simple things that it, you know, the fascinating thing for me is that if we look at everything that we do here at the Czech Institute, from my perspective, if we look at that more as a template rather than a rigid system, and we look at how people can fit into this template of a stress management, where are the places that the person is unwilling to change? Beautiful. That's beautiful. Own that.
Yeah.
And then where are they willing to do some change? If we go after where they're willing to do some change, that is going to help reduce the stress load. That's going to help heal HPA access. That's going to help them start to have the relative experience of change.
Yeah.
And what it feels like to then look in their rearview mirror as they feel better and see what they used to feel like.
Yeah.
Which will give them more fortitude and motivation to continue to change in their life. It's the exact way that I learned this. I didn't learn this simply through going to the Czech Institute and learning the theory.
Yeah.
I learned this because when I first graduated, I was working 60 to 70 hours a week, getting up at 4:30 in the morning, working a split shift, going home for 2 hours, going back to work for another 4 or 5 hours, going home at 9 o'clock to cook all my food, going to sleep, dreaming about work, and then waking up.
That sounds brutal.
Did I have money, excess money? Yes. Was I completely stressed out? Yes. Did I push myself so hard that I ended up having an anxiety attack at work and they had to call the ambulance because I thought I was having a heart attack?
Yeah.
Yes. Without that experience of overworking, I wouldn't have learned how to, one, share this with others, two, have compassion for others who are in the same situation, because I think from a coaching perspective, having compassion and empathy for others who are going through what you've been through is very helpful. And I wouldn't have had the motivation to say, you know what? I want to up my game more and more and more so I can charge a little bit more, charge a little bit more, so I can work less and bring a balance to my life long term.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for almost 20 years now. So this I'm at this point now where half my day is essentially play and half my day is essentially work. And that feels very balancing to me.
Yeah. Well, and you know, a lot of what you're saying too is, I mean, it doesn't sound like we need to make huge changes, complicated changes, right? You make the changes that you can. It's this idea of progress, not perfection, right?
One of the quotes I love most is, "Don't let perfection get in the way of good."
Yeah.
So go after what you can do. And it's back to this idea that we spoke of maybe 20 minutes ago, of the Western mind always having to do more, do better, be at this highest level. When you take this stuff on, if you take on the same mindset of, I need to do stress reduction,
that's a new stress. That's right.
It's not a race. There is no end game. There is no line to cross. This is a journey for the rest of our lives, which is dynamic. It is not static. And there are times in my life where stress goes up higher and I feel a little out of balance, for sure. And I have tools in my toolkit to bring that in, to help me bring that back down. It's really learning how to have compassion, empathy for yourself.
Yeah.
And rather than shaming and guilting yourself, which is another thing to notice, why are you shaming and guilting yourself, is to have compassion and empathy and say, man, okay, cool. What can I do and what feels easy to move into my life?
Yeah.
And that simple statement of it in and of itself, what feels easy that I can do, saying that to yourself is already reducing stress load.
Yeah, that's great. So right, wow. Well, and it's the it kind of goes back to that Bruce Banner thing too, right? Basically, he's learning to do the heart math stuff, right?
Totally.
This is a simple way to keep him from hulking out.
Exactly. And if we have this, where for me, like compassion, empathy comes in for self again, is think of if Bruce Banner was doing this heart math thing and trying to manage his stress, and he was working on that, and then, I don't know, agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show up outside his house and he has a stress response and turns into the Hulk. He turns into the Hulk, goes off the handle, then when he calms down, turns back down into Bruce Banner. If when he turns back into Bruce Banner, if his immediate thought is shame and guilt about not being able to control hulking out, what's gonna happen? He's gonna Hulk out again. Rather than if when he comes back down, he can say, "Oh, wow, look what I learned from this. What's the purpose in it? How can I change my perspective in it on it? And hey, it took me a little bit longer to have this stress response this time and Hulk out." So it changes the framework in which we look at ourselves. And my experience, I've only lived in the West. My experience of living here is a lot of us are taught to shame and guilt ourselves about many, 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 many things. And it's one reason why I think there's so much self-sabotage, which we've also talked about, is because there's this internal addiction that starts to occur to shaming and guilting ourselves. Now, that doesn't make any logical sense, but we're talking about emotional sense here. So some of us set ourselves up for failure so that we can feel the shame and guilt because it's how we felt so much in our lives, which we're unaware of that addiction, and then we keep raising that bar, raising that bar, raising that bar, in quotes, failing, 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 which then we just become this hamster on this setting the bar, failing, shame and guilt, setting the bar, failing, shame and guilt. So it's also finding our way out of how do we stop or integrate and change our need to shame and guilt so that we don't do that. Not don't do that because it's bad, but maybe integrate that and be aware of the consequences of shaming and guilting ourselves and being aware of the consequences of change.
So lessons from the Hulk, right? Stress is real, right? That there are real physiological consequences of stress, whether they're internal or external, right? You can do simple things to help alleviate that. Start where you can. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. I think that's the saying. Right, and if you can do those, just those three things, that's a lot to learn. That's a great practice. That's a huge change in your health.
And one of the most powerful, in my experience, stress kind of management tools is literally get yourself a foam roll, lay it long ways, put your butt at one end, your head at the other, so it's up your spine vertically. Lay on your back, open up your arms, open up your flexor chain, breathe in that position. You're hitting multiple birds with one stone by doing that. And check out this guy, his name's Malcolm Huxter. There's a site called buddhanet.net. And Malcolm Huxter does a guided meditation there, which is called Body Scan. And it's scientifically proved to reduce stress. And sometimes people need to hear that. It's a beautiful meditation. You're getting work on your respiratory mechanics, you're getting work on your posture. You're reducing stress. You're hitting so many birds with one stone that I've seen that in and of itself make grand changes in people that work 9 to 5, don't sleep well, don't eat well, Don't go to nature. All those things. That one thing is hugely powerful.
Yeah, that's great. We need to start the it's like a Heroes in Health series or something like that. Well, this is great, Jator. Thanks again. I think the idea of demystifying stress and showing that it's not this kind of airy fairy thing that you can grunt off, that you can just dismiss is really important. So thank you for that.
I agree. And on that note, with the Hulk being our superhero for today, when you Hulk out, which will happen, it happens to me too. When you Hulk out, imagine Betty in the Hulk, right? Betty is the Hulk, Bruce Banner's wife. And Betty's essentially the only person that can calm the Hulk down. And how does Betty calm the Hulk down? Betty doesn't show up at where the Hulk's hulking out and yell at him and scream at him and shame him and tell him he's wrong. Betty simply opens her arms, talks in a soft voice, touches him, and has understanding, compassion, empathy for him hulking out. And that reduces his stress and brings him back to Bruce. If you can do that with yourself, when you're hulking out, and bring in your internal Betty to be soft with you, that is amazing.
Yeah. Find your inner Betty.
Find your inner Betty.
That's great. Perfect. Well, that's a great place to end. Thanks again, Jator. I'm looking forward to our next. Look, God, how many video ideas did we come up with this one alone? 4 or 5?
We got at least 7.
All right. Well, I look forward to talking with you again soon.
All right, brother. Thank you.